is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Friday morning, the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber and Fifth Third Bank will once again team up for an annual Diversity Leadership Symposium to talk about how businesses are working to implement diversity and inclusion best practices. We are joined now by the Senior Inclusion Advisor of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, Mary Stagman, and the Vice President for Inclusion and Diversity at Fifth Third Bank, Mary McFarland. Mary Stagman of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber and Mary McFarland of Fifth Third Bank, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Mary Stagman, Diverse by Design and the big public session has been going on for quite some time. Now, it's sold out this year, which is a wonderful thing that that's already happened. But this is only part of a much bigger platform that you're operating.
That's absolutely right, Dan. And let's sort of parse that out for just a second. So the Diversity Leadership Symposium, which is presented by Fifth Third Bank, is next Friday, October 19th. And that's the event that's sold out. But Diverse by Design is actually a regional initiative that is intended to help us grow the diverse workforce we need right now and into the future. So it's a bigger effort that the Chamber started about 7 years ago, and Fifth Third has been one of our key partners in the effort, but we have more than 150 organizations from across the region who are helping to make us more diverse by design.
Mary McFarland, why Fifth Third? What makes your bank so committed to this?
Yeah, and actually way back in 2008, that's when we first kicked off the Diversity Leadership Symposium, and it was more of an internal Fifth Third event. And then a few years later, it's 2012, we started partnering with the Chamber, and Mary Stagman brought to us, like, hey, there's this bigger picture of Diverse by Design. There's a lot more work going on, and we can really transform this into a community event. And so glad we did. It's grown tremendously, the content that we've been able to bring, the people that we've been able to bring in to talk to our region's leaders has been incredible.
What's your goal? What's your hope for the region? When you say diversity, inclusion, you're using words that are related. When it gets down to business, what does that mean, Mary?
For Fifth Third, it really means about this region becoming a talent attractor, not just for us, but for all the organizations that are here. The better each of us do, it rises all boats. And so what we're hoping to do is really to attract and retain talent within the Cincinnati region, make this a place where people seek to come to build their careers, build their families, and also to really think about what we're known for. Are we known for being an inclusive community? Are we known for having rich diversity within our community? And that's what we want to see, because we know if we're pulling someone from the Chicagos and the Floridas and the Dallases of the world, that they see that they can have it all here, that they can make a difference in Cincinnati. They're going to stay and their families will want to stay.
Mm-hmm. And the business case for greater diversity and more inclusion has already been made. We know that organizations that have greater diversity in their ranks and create an environment in which people can bring their whole selves to work have greater innovation, better productivity, and fundamentally better bottom line. So from a chamber perspective, when we talk about inclusion, we think it is absolutely essential to our long-term regional competitiveness.
Mary McFarland, with the bank, how has the bank tried to implement some of the ideas around diversity and inclusion? Concretely, what goes on inside the bank where you try to make this real?
Yeah, so there are a few different ways. So one of them is through our employee resource groups, which we call business resource groups. And so we have 10 different groups. And so if you're not familiar with them, in some companies they're called affinity groups, and they contain like African-American, women's, LGBT, also like young professionals. So they're groups that can give us innovation as far as like their ideas. Like when we're doing product launches or we have new ideas, we reach out to those groups to help us understand what
pieces. So they have a real role in the business.
Absolutely. They truly are focused on three things. So they're focused on employees. So how do we develop careers internally and develop individuals internally, the community, how are we giving back to the Cincinnati region? And then business is our other how are we thinking about new opportunities and giving helpful insights that can really enrich the work that we do?
Mary Stegman, you, because of your situation at the chamber, you see a lot of different companies.
Right.
Are there some places, just to give some concrete examples of things that you think are really healthy and really exciting that they're happening?
Wow. Yeah, there's so many. We're really fortunate because we have such a rich business community, and we have leaders here who are not just leaders in Cincinnati, but they're global leaders when it comes to thinking about how do you grow more diverse workforces and create more inclusive workplaces. I would tell you that, for instance, Procter & Gamble's global gender equality strategy is one that we could all not only admire but emulate. They are working across the entire enterprise to move more women to top positions in the organization. They built a very inclusive organization, but a couple years ago, they realized that they were behind in moving women into the top levels. So now they have a very persistent and consistent strategy for changing that picture. Mary was talking about ERGs, and I immediately thought of Kroger and how they have used their affinity networks to actually improve the shopper experience. They have a rather unique, what they call an ARG, which is for young parents. And I think that probably what that's all about is they're all sleep deprived, right? But those young parents have helped Kroger improve their Kroger brand baby food and their Kroger brand diapers. So a direct relationship to improving the business. Their Hispanic Latino ARG helped to create those aisles of foods that now we all enjoy, but at the time were new to the grocery shelf. So those are two examples that come to mind immediately about how this is happening in our community.
I was noticing that on Friday that a number of focus groups are occurring, and one of them is tackling tough topics, grassroots approach to cultural change in the environment that we live in at the moment. What are you talking about?
So,
here?
Dan, that's a great question. And I just had a conversation with one of our leaders at Fidelity Investments, where they took a session from last year's symposium on about you can't say that at work, can you? And they used the book by our presenter of that topic, Mary Frances Winters, and they have built modules inside the company to help people to have conversations about those really tough topics. I think we've all recognized that you can't leave them at the door anymore. And with all the things that are happening in our country and the degree of polarization that we have, it's impossible to believe that someone can check all of their feelings about that at the door when they come to work. So I think leading companies are saying we have to bring the conversation inside. Mm-hmm. We have to be better at allowing people to express what's really going on in their lives and how they're feeling about all the craziness in the world around us. And so we've seen many, many organizations adopt a policy of having significantly more candid conversations inside the workplace.
Intentionally setting it up so those conversations do take place?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're formal. They're scheduled in advance so everybody knows what's going on. They are timely. So if there's something going on in the world that's creating a lot of disruption. So an example would be after Charlottesville last year, many companies, including the chamber, had internal conversations around how are we feeling about that? You know, where are we? And to be clear, this isn't about telling people what they should think or believe. It's about providing a safe space where people can have an honest discussion and perhaps understand why the person in the next cubicle thinks very differently from them.
Absolutely. I would second that Fifth Third has had some of those exact same conversations, like after the Pulse nightclub shooting. And as those big events occur, you can visibly see that our employees are impacted by it. They're mourning. And not to address it would just be extremely insensitive. So we do have those conversations, and we talk about you may be feeling this and someone may be feeling very different. How do we connect with each other? How do we keep the dialogue open versus people shutting down and going to their corners?
Something that we've all just lived through, the hearings on now Justice Kavanaugh. How did that get handled, if it did, in either of your workplaces?
Well, I would say some of our, like our women's groups talk about, like, you know, how do you handle some of that? And of course, we have harassment prevention courses and things like that to help people know that there are certain behaviors that are not appropriate for the workplace, and we all have a responsibility into saying something. And it really puts it on all of us. If you see something, say something, and you don't let inappropriate behaviors occur.
Right. And I think we've had lots of informal conversation over the last week as an organization that is very involved in advocacy. We follow the political environment very closely. And so it's a topic of conversation for us all the time.
Another one of your breakout groups, focus sessions at the symposium is going to be mitigating bias in the workplace. What is that? Bias against who? What? And this gets back to sort of that basic question. When we talk about diversity, what are we talking about?
This is my favorite topic.
So Mary McFarland, what do you think about that?
So I think there is some misconception around the word bias that people do associate it with discrimination or racism. It is some of that, but it's not just that. And talking about bias helps us understand that we all have biases. And some biases are good. Like, it's good to favor your child over the neighbor's child. It's good to have a bias for what you like to wear, or good to figure out what you eat for breakfast. Like, we have these biases that help us be productive and the way our brain works. So we'll be talking
that whole
a little bit,
discussion about implicit bias.
Exactly.
Unconscious bias.
But then what are some ways in which we have bias just because our brains are being extremely efficient that are not helping us? So it's even as simple as, do you have like a go-to person at work? Is there someone who always gets the projects? And that means they always get the development opportunities. They always get the spotlight. And when you think about how fast organizations are moving and how much work we have, it comes down to organizational capacity. So if we're not stopping and realizing that we have these biases, we're weighing down the same people over and over again, and we're not building up the capacity within our organizations. So it's as simple as that, as being thoughtful about what ways is it playing out in the workplace.
So it's releasing barriers that are preventing some people from flourishing.
Absolutely.
Right. And the session is going to cover some of the new neuroscience around bias, because we keep learning more and more about it and really wanting to learn more so that we can, even though it is unconscious often, how can we bring it to the front of our brains and actually recognize when it's happening and do something about it. But I wanted to go back to what your question about diversity, because I think it's really important. All too often, I think here in this community, because we have had a very homogeneous population, we reduce that to just black and white. That's incredibly important. But when we say diversity, we want to build a community that looks like where this country is going, not where it's been. So we want immigrants in our workplaces. We want people with disabilities. We want returning citizens. We want veterans. We want every race and ethnicity represented, and at levels that make people feel comfortable and that actually leverages all that rich diversity to the advantage of an individual company and to the betterment of our region.
I want to thank both Mary Stageman and Mary McFarland for being with us today, and have a great session on Friday.
Thank you.
More importantly, in the long run, good luck with all of the work, and thank you for all of the work you're doing in the community on this incredibly important topic.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.